So I needed a piece of rope, and at the hardware store, when you go to the hardware store to get some rope, here, let me just cut off that fuzzy end there. Cut off that fuzzy end. When you go to the hardware store, like Lowe's, okay, these are like, they're not, yeah, they're horrible. All right, that's all the time we have. Let's enjoy lunch. Okay. So, I needed a piece of rope at the hardware store. Hey, could we have you scoot over into this section, please? Thank you very much. Because then I could just jab my chin. Okay, so I needed a piece of rope about this long. Now, when you go to the hardware store to get rope, they don't let you peel it out yourself because they're afraid you'll cut yourself and then sue them for letting you use their scissors. So, you have to wait for a person in an orange apron to cut the rope. So I did that, and so the guy comes over, he cuts the rope. I'm turning around to see if there's anything I can't live without, and I just nonchalantly said, oh, I just remembered I need two ropes. The guy said, not a problem. He took the rope that he just cut, and he took the scissors, and he cut it here, like that. Put the scissors back. I turned around. He said, here, sir, here are your two ropes. I said, no, I need two ropes the length of that one. He said, oh. Okay, not a problem. And with that, he began to tie those two ropes together, like so. And he said, here, sir, hang on to your rope while I get your other rope. I said, no, those are two ropes. He said, no, it's tied together. I said, there's a big knot in the middle of it. I'm not taking that home. He said, sir, you can cover the knot. Nobody will see. I'll know the knot is there. He said, we have duct tape on aisle 5. You could wrap duct tape around it. That'll cover the knot. I said, no, for that rope to go to my house, it needs to be perfect. It can't have a knot in the middle of it. It needs to be perfect. Well, to get into God's heaven, you and I have to be perfect. Now, we're careful we hide our sin from other people, but we can't hide it from God. We have to be perfect. But we've all sinned, right? Somebody said we've all been naughty. Naughty. Yeah. Now, what happens sometimes, maybe when we're younger, maybe it's disobedience to parents. When we get older, maybe it's prejudice. Or maybe when we get older, maybe it's stealing. But to get into God's heaven, we have to be perfect. We have to be righteous. But the problem is we have a sin problem. But when Christ died on the cross, of course, we know he paid the price for our sin. In fact, the blood that he shed still today has the power to wash away sin. So I can take this and I could slide it all the way off. So our sin is separated from us, from God, as far as the east is from the west. It's cast into the deepest sea, never to be brought up again, so that you and I can be whole in God's sight, righteous, completely perfect in God's sight, and be ready for heaven. Make sure that doesn't stretch. It is a rope. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So some of you have already made that choice this week. Some of you made that choice before coming to camp. Some of you still need to make that choice to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you will. Change your mind about yourself. Understand, we're sinners. God's not impressed with us. Change your mind about Christ. God is impressed with his Son. And then choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The message from Monday night. All right, I have a friend of mine with me. He's been working on something. He claims he can read minds. We'll see. All right, here he is. Okay, take it easy. Right. He's a rat. Put your hands there. This is Ringo. I know. This is Ringo. He reads body language so well it looks like mind reading, so they call him Ringo, the mind reading rat. I can read minds. You cannot really read minds. I know what you're thinking. Okay, what am I thinking? You're thinking there's no way he could read my mind? That's what I was thinking. I know. I'm a mind-reading rat. When did you get this capability? Hey. What are you looking at? I was wondering the same thing. What am I looking at? Hey. So, when did you get this ability? Where did you find this?
Outside of the French restaurant.
What were you doing outside of a French restaurant?
I was dining in the dumpster.
Dining in the dumpster, that's right. What did you eat?
I found some snail shells mixed with chocolate.
Ooh,
it was delicious.
A little crunchy, but delicious. What else did you have?
I had some melted ice cream with some ketchup. Ooh, delicious. Just sucked it up with a straw. Ooh.
Oh, here's something. How about caramel sauce and Brussels sprouts?
That's disgusting.
Really? Are you trying to lately throw up? What else did you? I suppose you got thirsty.
There was a bottle in the dumpster. A bottle. A bottle.
And did it have a label?
It said, "Yeah, put that there. Thank you."
All right. What did the label say?
It had a label. It was a bottle of something for rats.
For rats. And what did you do?
I drank it. What did the label say? It said, poisson.
Poisson. That's the French word for fish.
I know. And I drank it. And my whiskers curled and my eyes bulged out and I could suddenly read minds.
That's amazing.
I know.
Yeah, that's amazing. You going to sit up there? That's comfortable. Okay. So we're going to put that to the test, okay?
You're going to put it to the test.
Now, to do this, is there anything that we have to do?
I have to go into a deep sleep.
A deep sleep.
That's what I said.
Okay. All right. Stop that. What was that?
What?
You just laughed hysterically.
I did no such thing.
We all just watched.
I didn't do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, oh, okay, what was that?
What?
You just had like a little conniption.
I did no such thing.
We just watched you.
Look, I am in my body. I know what my body does.
Okay. So I'll put you into a deep sleep. You're getting into a deep sleep.
I'm getting into a deep sleep.
A deep sleep.
That's called acting.
Okay, good. All right. All right. So you're getting to sleep. All right. Put your head right down there. All right. Now he's in a deep sleep. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to use some Uno game pieces. All right. Uno game pieces. We don't call them cards because we're at camp. Sometimes a deck of cards can be distracting. So we call these Uno game pieces. Uno game pieces. We do not shuffle them. We mix them. We mix the Uno game pieces. That's important. And we do not distribute them. We do not deal them. We distribute them. That's always a fun thing, too. And I'm not on a stage, I'm on a platform. I'm not doing a performance, I'm doing a presentation. See, all those things, they're important, all right? So, Uno game pieces, all right. I'll come over here. Are you familiar with Uno game pieces?
Yes.
Okay, so what if I do this? If I take my finger and go like this, I'll just need you to say stop, and I'll need you to remember the game piece, all right?
Stop.
I'm sorry, I went too fast. All right, try it again.
Stop.
Okay, remember that. Remember the color, if it's a symbol or a number, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay, and you'll remember it, you won't forget. Okay, let's go to this side, let's go to this side. Let's go to this side. Let's see. Gentlemen, did I wake you? All right, just checking. All right, then you'll remember. Remember all those things, the number, the color, and all of that. You're familiar with game pieces? All right, I'm going to do it here. Wait a minute. They're in my hands. Maybe I'm doing something tricky because they're like all in my hands. What if I do this? What if I take my rubber band here and I wrap it around here? Yeah. See, now we would agree it's difficult to do something tricky with a rubber band on. But they're still in my hands. That's the thing. Maybe I could do something tricky with them in my hands. I need to get them out of my hands. Get them out of my hands. So let me do that. Okay. Get them out of my hands. To do that, I'm going to use this. Yes. It's a rat trap. So, yeah, you want to see if it works? No. Okay. Tell you what we're going to do. That was weird. Got that there like that? All right. So here's what's going to happen. This is going to be coming toward you. What you're going to do is you're going to just take your thumb, and you're going to just crack it open. And say, oh, look. Hey, Wendy's has something going on. Okay. So anyway, you're going to crack it open, and you're going to take a peek. All right? Maybe like it's a green 3. Take a peek. A blue reverse, okay? And don't take the deck out and be looking at it or the stack out because we don't have that kind of time. So it's going to be coming to you, all right? Coming to you. But I want to really get it out of my hands. Sure you do. So I'm going to put it on this. Okay. Yeah. So again, just take it, peek at it, remember what it is. How are you folks doing on the second row? Doing well? Are you doing well on the second row? You with the hat? You ready? This is coming your way. Just to give you advance warning. Let your neighbor see it as well. All right, here we go. Right there. Go ahead. Crack it open. All right. You got it? You remember it? You got it? You remember it? Okay, very good. I'm going to come over here to the third row, How are you today? Are you doing well? Coming to the third row right there. Go ahead and take that. Crack it open. Remember it? Remember it? You got it? All right. Now, I see that there's like a green 8 on the bottom. Don't choose the green 8. You see the green 8 on the bottom? Don't choose that because everybody could see that, okay? All right, good, good, good. Here, let's try this here. I'm going to try not to break that lamp this year. All right, let's go over here. Gentlemen, right back here. Gentlemen, right back here. Right back here. Go right ahead and grab that. Yeah, just go ahead and, yeah, grab that. All right. All right, good job. Sometimes just entertain myself. Just crack it open, look at it. You got it? You going to remember it? All right, you actually saw it? Okay, cool. Gentlemen, how about right over here in the Batman hat, right over here? Yes. Crack it open. Take a look. You got it? Okay, here we go. Don't anybody stand up. Very good. All right. All right. I used to use a bucket, but people kept putting money in it. Got $1.75 once. That was the record. Okay, remember your game piece. Remember your game piece. Remember your game piece. Remember your game piece. All right? All right, let me just give that to my assistant. Okay. Now, remember your game piece. In a moment, Ringo is going to come out of his deep sleep. When he comes out of his deep sleep, he's going to name some colors. He's going to name some symbols. He's going to name some numbers. Do not react to what he names. Do not react to what he names. All right, if you saw a game piece, please stand. If you saw a game piece, please stand. If you saw a game piece, please stand. All right, so I have one, two, three, you saw it. Three, you saw it. Which one did you see? Gentlemen, which one did you see? Which one did you see? You saw the one that they saw? Okay. You saw the one they saw? Or did she saw? Okay, all right. All right. And you saw a game piece. All right, very good. So one, two, three, four, five. Okay, I don't know if he could do this, but we're going to try this. Remain standing. And when he names the color, when he names the colors, remain stoic. Don't give any movement at all. All right. All right. Bring him out here. Sure. All right. You are awake.
I am awake.
All right. These people have selected a game piece.
I know. I can read their minds.
I don't think so. So you're going to name the colors, correct?
That is correct. Okay. Name the colors. Red, green, yellow, blue. Red, green, yellow, blue. Okay. They're good. Yes, they are.
Name the symbols. Reverse, skip the turn, plus two.
Reverse, skip the turn, plus two. Okay.
All right. The numbers?
0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Zero. Okay, I got it.
You got it.
I got it.
Okay. I want you to name the game pieces, okay?
Okay.
Now, if he named your game piece, do not give any clue that he named it. What did you see?
I saw
a red reverse, a blue three, a blue nine, a red seven, yes, and a yellow four. That's what you saw. If he named your game piece, please be seated. If he named your game piece, please be seated. That's amazing.
If he named your game piece,
apparently you didn't name her game piece.
You don't think so?
Apparently you didn't. Okay, so she's going to think of her game piece, okay?
Okay,
all right. Think of your game piece.
She's good.
I know, all right. Is it blue? Was it blue?
I'm thinking it wasn't blue.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right.
Was it green?
It must have been green. Was it green? Okay. And was it a symbol or a number?
I don't know yet. I'm reading her mind. Okay.
So it's green.
Oh, I got this. Okay. And now when I name the card, when I name the game piece,
yes,
this audience needs to applaud. I am a mind reading rat.
Okay.
I am reading her mind.
Okay.
Was your game piece a green nine?
It was a green nine. Thank you very much. A mind reading rat. Let's go back to that bottle of stuff that you drank. How did you spell poisson, the French word for fish?
P-O-I-S-O-N.
Try it again.
P-O-I-S-O-N.
That's not poisson.
Yes, it is. It's called poison. I drank poison.
You drank poison.
I don't feel so good.
You're going to be fine.
No, I think I'm going to Ralph, right?
You're not
going to
Ralph.
One sidewalk pizza coming up.
No, stop that. Who? Stop.
They want to scoot back. It's going to be a Technicolor yawn.
No, don't. Don't do that. That's ridiculous, okay?
I drank poison.
You drank poison.
I don't feel so good. Everything's getting dark. I see the light.
You see the light.
I see the light. It's an LED.
Yeah.
I didn't count on that.
That's because that is an LED light.
You see it too.
Well, that's because it is an LED light. You look, you're a big rat. I'm sure you'll metabolize that poison just fine. But even though it was poison, did you think it was good for you?
I thought it was.
Because you thought it was, did it make it good for you?
No, it was still poison.
Yes, it was. And the same thing with spiritual truth. Sometimes we think that something is true just because we believe it. We need something outside of us, something like the Word of God that never changes. And we're to gauge all spiritual things by the Word of God, by the Scriptures. Thank you. You're going to be fine, okay? I'm going to go in here. All right. You have a banana?
I do not have a banana. That monkey's not no banana.
I know. I'm going to put the put this lid on and put him back.
Watch the tail. I'll watch the tail.
All right. That is Ringo, the mind-reading rat. Now, when you and I take the Lord as our personal Savior, we have a wonderful opportunity to live under His influence, to live under His guidance. The Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit of God and the manifestations of that. And so this is a minor illustration of a major Bible truth. You realize that when you and I are following the Spirit of God, that there are amazing things God can do through our lives that we could not do ourselves. To show you that, I have this. Under the influence of this tablecloth, as the cloth has covered the table can do amazing things. Let's see. Back to the middle. Come back to the middle. And then I want you to rest right down here on the ground. Rest. I need someone to help me out. Is there somebody that would be willing to help me out? Let's see. Let's see. Would you come assist me, please? What is your name? Caitlin, come help me out, please. If you'll stand on the other side of the table from me, please, right over there. And then if you'll hold on to a tassel, hold on to a tassel. I know, sorry. And then we'll focus right here on the middle. We'll lift those up a little bit so it has some room. Let's watch. Here, let's lift it up a little bit more. You can even look underneath there. You can even look underneath there. That's like cool. You can let go. Let's see what'll happen here. Whoa! So it's come back. It almost has like a mind of its own underneath the cloth. Of course, underneath the cloth. Keeps doing those things. Here, let's do this. Let's grab those tassels again. All right. And we'll put them down a little. And we'll let it go down to its own. All right. Thank you very much. Give her a hand for helping me out. You may have a seat. That's very good. Nicely done. So you and I, under the influence of the Spirit of God, have the opportunity to watch God do amazing things through our lives. But it's only through the power of the Spirit of God. They're just like so. All right. You have your Bible? Let me direct your attention to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39 today. Genesis 39. It's amazing to me how God orchestrates things. And even when you cannot see God working, it doesn't mean that He is absent. And even though you may not feel Him present, it doesn't mean that He does not care. And so I introduce you today to a man you're probably already familiar with. We live in a day and age where people are constantly playing the role of victims. Their whole identity is wrapped around being a victim. Now, I don't mean that anybody should ever mistreat anybody else, but sometimes that is our entire identity. If there was ever a guy that had a right to be a victim and to play the victim card but did not, it was the guy we're going to talk about today. His mom died when he was about 15 years old. And that means then that during those critical teenage years, he did not have a mom to talk to. He didn't have a mom to help nurture him. He had brothers, but those brothers hated him. They never had a nice thing to say to him. They were constantly belittling him, constantly shaming him. His father loved him. In fact, his father made no secret that this was his favorite son. And that made the other brothers, who were older than him, hate him even more. He had one younger brother. That brother, when he was born, his name's Reuben. When he was born, his mother died during the childbirth. Reuben, not Reuben? What was it? Benjamin. Excuse me. Benjamin. He had a younger brother, Benjamin. I meant to say Benjamin. Thank you. Benjamin. And when Benjamin was born, his mother died while giving birth to him. And so his brothers had nothing nice to say about him. Can you imagine? That's what he grew up with every day. No relief. They were relentless. Picking on him, putting him down, insulting him, belittling him, making fun of him. No mom there to help comfort him. When the brothers were around the dad, well, they would be somewhat nice to the brother that they always picked on. But when dad wasn't around, that little brother was fair game. And of course, you know his name is Joseph. If anybody had a right to be a victim, it was Joseph. His brothers hated him so much that one day his dad sent him to go find his brothers. They were keeping sheep. And so he sent Joseph to go find his brothers tens of miles away. And his brothers aren't where they're supposed to be. And so he's in a field where his brothers are supposed to be. And God orchestrates to bring a servant along who happened to overhear the brothers talking about going to a place that's even further away. So Joseph goes and he finds his brothers. Now he knows when he finds his brothers, they're only going to give him a hard time. But his dad has told him to find his brothers and to check up on them. And he knows when he finds them, there's nobody there to protect him. Those brothers are going to give him a hard time. But he goes anyway. And instead of just saying, well, they're not here, I guess I'll go back home. No, he's going to see the task through. Not just enough to get by, but he's going to be thorough. And he finds his brothers. They recognize him because of the coat of many colors that he's wearing, a gift from his dad. And while he's coming, they say, oh, look, here comes the dreamer. And that's because Joseph had a couple of dreams. Now, Joseph didn't have a Bible like what we have. He didn't have the book of Genesis because he's in the book of Genesis. He may have had the book of Job, but it would not have most likely been written down. It would have been communicated orally. No doubt there were times where his father would talk to him about encounters with God that he had, that his dad had, and that his grandfather had. No doubt Joseph heard about the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. But he had these dreams. And sometimes when God would communicate through a dream, he would give that dream two or three times. And Joseph had a dream. He had a dream that there were these bundles of wheat. And he was the center bundle, and the other bundles around his bundle bowed down to him. That's puzzling. And then he had another dream that he was in the center of the stars and the sun and the moon. And the stars, 11 of them, because he had 11 brothers, including that younger one, Benjamin, the 11 stars bowed down, and the sun and the moon bowed down. And his father was incredulous. His father didn't believe there. So what you're saying, Joseph, is one day we're all going to bow down to you? You're thinking a little bit too highly of yourself, Joseph. And so when his brothers see him coming, they are 64 miles away from home. That's like 5 days' journey because they didn't use cars or buses. So he's 64 miles away from home. And he knows his brothers are going to give him a hard time, but he can't anticipate what they're going to do. They are near a pit, most likely a cistern, that would hold water when it would rain. They're near a pit, and they decide they're going to take Joseph, and they're going to throw him in the pit. Some of them want to kill him, and then go back and tell their dad, well, he was mauled by a wild animal. And so he's put in a pit, and while he's in that pit, instead of killing him, there is a band of Ishmaelite slave traders. They're going to take their own flesh and blood, and they don't care if it breaks their father's heart. They don't care about the consequences. They just think they're going to be rid of this pain in the neck. And so they sell their brother. They sell their own flesh and blood. The older brothers are supposed to protect younger brothers. But these guys instead hoist him out of the pit and they sell him to these slave traders. And Joseph perhaps was bound with a rope around his hands. And perhaps he's walking behind the caravan as a slave, like a piece of meat, like a tool. These slave traders make their way to Egypt. That's a long way from home for Joseph. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Think of this for a moment. Joseph, if anybody had a right to play the victim card, it was Joseph. My mother died. The lady that took care of me, Deborah, the nurse, she's died. My brothers hate me. They always say bad things about me. Now they've sold me like a slave. And he could have played the victim card. And now I'm in Egypt. Whenever I do right, I always get punished for it. God gives me a message. I share the message. I get ridiculed. I obey my dad. My brothers sell me into slavery. Every time I do right, it seems like I get punished for it. Every time I do right, it seems like the world caves in on me. So he's on an auction block. No doubt these slave traders cleaned him up like you would polish a car. Cleaned him up, you know, washed him up, put a nice fresh set of clothes on him. You want to put your very best out there to get the very best price. Well, Joseph happened to have been a young man that looked like he could work. And he was also easy on the eyes. And so he was a man that looked like he could work and looked like he could add value to a household. So a man named Potiphar, captain of the king's guard. Potiphar was the man who was in charge of the king's executioners. He buys Joseph and brings him to his household. Little does Potiphar realize that day that he has brought into his household someone that God has blessed. Potiphar didn't know that. But it seems like whatever this young man puts his hand to prospers. And Potiphar thinks this is the best investment I've ever made over time. Joseph can be trusted with the smallest of tasks. He doesn't just do things when Potiphar's around or when his supervisor's around. Joseph sees things through. He does tasks till they're completed. This guy, he's at work early. He's at work late. He's industrious. If he doesn't know how to do something, he says, he doesn't say, well, I don't know how to do it. I'm just not going to do it. He figures out how to do it or asks somebody how to do it. This is an amazing guy. He's industrious. He's a self-starter. He's not lazy. He doesn't need someone to get him up out of bed and, all right, where's Joseph? Oh, he's still sleeping. Oh, let's go get him. That's not that kind of guy. Joseph is amazing. He reminds me of a cork. You know, if you take a little cork ball and you put it in a cup of water and you press it down to the bottom and you let go, the cork like pops up. If you get a bucket of water, you take the cork, you put it in the bottom of the bucket and let go and it pops up to the top. You get a barrel of water, put a cork in a barrel, put it down to the bottom, the cork pops back up. Go into the ocean, go to the bottom of the ocean, drop the cork there and you'll watch it go all the way back up to the surface. Joseph is like that. He's like that cork. No matter how much he gets pushed back down, he always rises to the top. Do you think God can use a young person like that? Do you think God could use a young person that's not always a victim, but somebody who takes their circumstances and makes the best of them? I tell you, God can use a guy like that. But there's a secret to Joseph's life. In Genesis 39, we see what that secret is. You've been so patient through the introduction. Genesis 39, we see what the secret is. Look with me, Genesis 39. And in verse 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. The key to Joseph's success is right there. The Lord was with Joseph. And you come here to verse 2, continuing, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. How is it that Joseph keeps rising to the top? There's the secret. The Lord was with him. You look down to verse 22. After a while, Joseph has been tempted by Potiphar's wife. We'll look at that in a moment. Joseph refuses her advances, and so she falsely accuses him of trying to violate her. Now he's thrown into prison. Man, this guy, he does what is right, and the rug gets pulled out from under him. He does what is right, and he's flat on his back again. So he's thrown into prison for something he did not do. I want you to notice, we don't read of him defending himself. We don't read of him whining. We don't read of him being a victim. Instead, here's what we read, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, we find in the Bible that phrase about a lot of people. The Lord was with David. The Lord was with Joshua. You'll find a couple of kings. You'll find some prophets. The last person in the Bible that is spoken of in those terms, the Lord was with him, was John the Baptist. The Lord was with John the Baptist. And so we might say, well, those guys had a special relationship with God. The Lord was with them. And I don't have that. Well, you haven't read too far in the New Testament then, because we do have the promise that the Lord is with us. In Matthew 28, the Bible says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, God is with us. The Lord is with us. And because of that, we are to be different people. We are to be a blessing to those who employ us. We're to be a blessing to those who have us do their chores. We're to be a blessing to our mom and our dad. We're to be a blessing in our classroom, in our youth group, in our church, a blessing on our block, because the Lord is with us. And I want you to note very quickly three things. The Lord was with Joseph in three different arenas. Number one, the Lord was with Joseph in circumstances beyond Joseph's control. Circumstances. The Lord was with Joseph in circumstances beyond Joseph's control. I want you to say with me those words, in circumstances beyond Joseph's control. Shall we? In circumstances beyond Joseph's control. Let's do it again. In circumstances beyond Joseph's control. Again, in circumstances. You're not saying it with me. Let's do it together. Here we go. In circumstances beyond Joseph's control. All right, so there are times when bad things are going to happen to you. When you get older, people are going to say, "You know, really, there's a God? If there's really a God, how come bad things happen to people?" Now, this isn't a complete answer, but listen carefully. Sometimes bad things happen to people because of the bad choices we make. Sometimes we have bad things happen to us because we made bad choices. And we're to blame. God's not going to fund our little party of rebellion. He's not going to be behind that. And so we expect him, well, I thought he loved me. Well, he does love us. And he knows that sin always has death attached to it. Sin always has a consequence. And so there are times where God will resist us. And the Bible says God resisteth the proud. So sometimes we suffer because God is resisting us. Don't blame it on the devil. Sometimes God resists us because we're proud and we're rebellious and we're going our own way. Sometimes we suffer because of choices of our own making. Sometimes we suffer because of the choices of others. You and I cannot make other people choose certain things. But the fact is, every choice has consequences. So some of you suffer from the choices that other people have made, and that's regrettable. And that's what Joseph did. He suffered because of the choices his brother made. He suffered because of the choice that Potiphar's wife made. He was suffering constantly because of the choices of other people. So you and I cannot control their choices, but we can control our response to those choices. We do not have to get under those and constantly be defined by the choices other people have made. Joseph was not defined by those choices. He did not buy into what his brothers told him. He did not become the victim. Sometimes you and I suffer, not just because of our own choices, or sometimes because of the choices of others. Sometimes we suffer because there's a principle in play called, you reap what you sow. And so if you and I make bad choices at one point and it seems like we're getting away from it, eventually there's a harvest that comes to play, and we reap a harvest later because of bad choices earlier. Sometimes we suffer because we're in a fallen world. You know, if there's a God and he's loving, how come he doesn't make the world perfect? Well, he did once. The world was perfect. It was complete. It was good. And then man messed it up. And one day God will return everything to perfection, to completion. Today's not the day. But one day he will. And there will be zero tolerance for sin. So we live in an imperfect world. We live in fallen bodies, bodies that are under the curse. And so there are times when diseases come into our bodies. Sometimes God heals those diseases. Sometimes he does not choose to heal those diseases. And what happens is that we then have a testimony through that disease. So there are all sorts of reasons. But I will tell you this, through any suffering, God always gives grace to the repentant child of his. He always gives mercy. He always gives strength. Paul the Apostle suffered. He asked God three times to remove the source of the suffering. And three times God said no. Instead, God was going to give Paul something greater than relief. He was going to give Paul grace. And Paul said that in my weakness, God's strength is made perfect. If that's the case, then bring on the onslaught. Bring on the infirmities. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. Joseph faced circumstances beyond his control, and yet he was still faithful to God. The Lord was with him in circumstances beyond his control. You and I, we don't have control over what our parents are going to do. You and I don't have control over what our siblings are going to do. You and I don't have any control over where mom and dad are going to move us. We don't have any control over those kinds of things. But we do have control over how we respond. Instead of just resigning ourselves to, well, it is what it is. No. It is what we make of it. Joseph had the promise that the Lord was with him in circumstances beyond his control. Number two, in solicitations beyond God's approval. A solicitation is a temptation. It's a sales job. And so Potiphar's wife was trying to do a sales job to con Joseph into being seduced by her, a solicitation toward evil. And so here's a solicitation beyond God's approval. Now, hey, Joseph doesn't have his youth pastor breathing down his neck to make sure he's doing right. He doesn't have mom and dad breathing down his neck to make sure he's doing right. He doesn't have a good friend breathing down his neck to make sure he does right. Joseph's by himself. And he could easily have thought, you know, when in Egypt, do what the Egyptians do. This is just the culture that we're a part of. Besides that, it could harm my career if I refuse her advances. She could say bad things about me to my employer. And so, I'm just going to go ahead and give in. By the way, when he had his dreams, he was 17 years old. So Joseph is at this time anywhere between 17 to 21 years of age. He is a man with like passions like any 17 to 21-year-old. He has hormones that are raging. And here is this temptation that comes to him on a silver platter. And Joseph is pure. He's as pure as the fresh fallen snow. And to some people, that kind of purity is enticing. Like when it snows and you want to be the first person to get out there and put your feet in the snow. But to some people, someone that's pure like you are presents a special enticement. You be aware of that and avoid that enticement. And so Joseph has never been with a woman, and this wife of Potiphar tries to seduce him. And Joseph knows God does not approve of this. He does not approve of this. And he could say, well, who will know? Who will know? But I want you to notice how Joseph handles this. He gives us a great formula for handling temptation. Notice with me here in the Bible, let's look at verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Verse 8, but he refused. Number one, he refused. Say that with me. He refused. Let's say it. He refused. The first thing he did with this temptation is he refused. To refuse means, to a degree, you stomp your foot and say, no. No. I'm not going to do this thing. I'm not going to do this sin. I'm not going to fall into this temptation. No. But this lady was relentless. Notice what else happens here in verse 8. He refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not or knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? First of all, he refused. Secondly, he recognized. He recognized. Say that with me. He recognized. Let's do both of those. He refused. He recognized. Again, he refused. He recognized. That is, he recognized his position before God. And he recognized his responsibility in the household. Potiphar had entrusted so much to his hand, but his wife was off limits. His wife was out of bounds. How could he break the heart of that employer that had treated him so kindly? More than that, how could he sin against God? He recognized his position. He refused. He recognized his position. And then notice what the next Bible says here. Next verse says. It says here in verse 10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. So she's going to wear him down. She's going to wear him down. So what does he do? He does not even get into the same place where she is. He keeps himself from the places where she is known to be. We call that recusing. He recuses himself. He refuses. He recognizes. He recuses. In other words, there are some places you and I do not need to be because the temptation would be strong. We have a problem today. Sometimes we call it grace when what we're actually talking about is the liberty to do what's wrong. And the fact is, you and I don't have the liberty to do what's wrong. That's not what grace is about. We have the liberty to obey God and to do what is right. And so he recused himself. If he knew she was going to be in the living room, he wouldn't be in the living room. If he knew she was going to be in the kitchen, he wouldn't be in the kitchen. He recused himself. So he refused, he recognized, he recused. Let's say that together. He refused, he recognized, he recused. R-E-C-U-S-E. Let's try it again. He refused, he recognized, he recused. Can somebody say that on their own? Could you? So go ahead. Recused, yes. All right. Somebody else. One other person. Yes, young man there.
He refused.
Yep.
Recognized.
Very good. All right. It's like the guy, one day, there's a guy at this employment place working with a bunch of people. Every morning he brings in donuts. He drives by the donut store, brings in donuts. And one day, there are no donuts. They said, hey, what's going on? He said, well, my weight's getting up there and stuff, so there aren't going to be donuts for a while because I'm trying to eat right. Well, sure enough, a week goes by, no donuts. 2 weeks, no donuts. 3 weeks, no donuts. Fourth week begins, there are donuts. They said, hey, we thought you were on a dietary regimen. He said, I know there are donuts, but listen, I prayed about it. See, every day I drive by the donut shop. I said, Lord, if it's your will today that I get some donuts and have some myself, may there be a parking spot right there by the door in front of the donut shop. See, I prayed about it. And you know, the fifth time around the block, there it was. I know. It's terrible. There are just some places we should avoid. And so he recuses himself. And then the last thing, she basically ambushes this guy. He's in the house. Where are the other guys? They're conveniently dismissed. And she grabs a hold of Joseph. You're not refusing this time. And he wriggles out of his garment, out of his coat, and he runs. And she's left holding not Joseph, but holding his coat. He retreats. He refuses, recognizes, recuses, and then retreats. And sometimes the best strategy is to just run out of there as fast as you can. And that's what Joseph did. And then she uses that coat as evidence against him. And she begins to cry and weep, and she raises her voice, and suddenly the men who were not there earlier come running in. And she accuses Joseph of trying to violate her. And when her husband comes home from work, his wife is a mess. And so he wants to know what's wrong. And she tells him, that Hebrew that you brought in came in to mock me, to make fun of me. And Potiphar is angry, and he throws Joseph into prison. And now he's in charge of nothing. Little did Potiphar realize that when he threw Joseph out of his household, he probably should have thrown his wife out instead. But he threw Joseph out. And at the same time, shot himself in the foot to a degree. Because the reason why Potiphar's household was blessed was because of that man named Joseph in his household. So now the blessing moves to the prison. And Joseph, again, is a go-getter. He's not in his cell sulking, pouting, I obeyed the Lord. Maybe I should have just given in. Maybe I should have just done what everybody else would have done. There's none of that with Joseph. All right, here I am. Let me get busy where I am. What can I do? Hey, what can I help with, Captain of the Guard? What can I help with? Well, you just keep to yourself right now. I'll keep my cell clean. I'll keep it straightened. And he does that. Okay, what else can I do? Well, sweep the corridor. I'll let you out of your jail cell. Sweep the corridor. Okay. Hey, help bring meals to the prisoners. Okay, I can do that. Pretty soon, the captain of the guard realizes that the prisoner warden realizes, this guy's a blessing. I could just take it easy. All I got to do is keep an eye on this guy who does all my work. I love this. God was faithful to Joseph and was with Joseph in circumstances beyond Joseph's control. Do not assume every demotion is a chastening from God. And don't make the mistake. And remember also, you can commune with God in high places and low places, but always commune with God. Always spend time with Him. And that time that you spend with God will help protect you against temptation, whether it's covert temptation, that is under the radar temptation, or subtle temptation, or temptation that tries to wear you down, or maybe it's just obvious, overt, obvious temptation. Communing with the Lord protects you from those things. Well, eventually a couple of prisoners in the prison have dreams. And they're talking about it. The butler has a dream. The butler has a dream that, because he's been in prison now, and he has a dream that he was holding a cluster of grapes and squeezing that cluster, and the juice from those grapes was going into the cup of Pharaoh. And I don't know what that dream means. And Joseph said, I'll tell you what it means. How many clusters were there? Okay, in so many days, you are going to be exalted again to your position, and you will once again be a cupbearer to Pharaoh. Wow, that's a pretty good outcome. And so then there's a baker. He says, well, I had a dream too. I had a dream that there was a basket of bread on my head, and the ravens came and they ate it. What does that mean? Okay, well, here's what's going to happen. In so many days, you two are going to be taken out of the prison cell. Yeah. And you're going to be hanged. And the birds are going to come and pull at your flesh. Have a good day. And it came to pass. Joseph told the butler, remember me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Oh, I won't forget you. He has every intention. Oh, I won't forget you. I'll put in a good word with you, for you with Pharaoh. But he forgets him for 2 years. Joseph had the dreams when he was 17. And when he's 30 years old, the Pharaoh has a dream. When Joseph is 30, the Pharaoh has a couple of dreams. And you know those dreams. He dreams that there are these fat cows. He dreams that there are these skinny cows, all of that. Joseph is calling. Suddenly the butler remembers, you know, there was a guy in prison. I don't know if he's still there. There's a guy in prison that could interpret dreams. Let me bring him out. And Joseph interprets the dreams, and suddenly he is placed second in command. He's the gatekeeper for the corn for Egypt, for the grain of Egypt. This guy's like a cork. You put him on the slave block, and he's raised to the second in position in Potiphar's household. You throw him in prison, he's raised to where he's taking care of all the prisoners, and eventually raised to the second in Egypt. He's like a cork. Just keeps going to the top. What's the secret? The secret is the Lord was with him. Now, how do you get that? How do you get that? You get that promise, first of all, when you trust Christ as your Savior. The Lord promises he's going to be with us. But how do you experience that? Here's the bottom line that we're going to pray. How do you experience that? Here it is. You experience that by abandoning yourself to the Lord. Taking the reins, taking your hands off the reins of your life and saying, all right, you are the Lord of my life. And then when the rug gets pulled out from under you, well, I can understand how that. Oh, wait a minute, you're the Lord of my life. The devil means this for evil. You mean it for good. And all that is done, whether it's two steps forward or three steps backward, whether I'm on the mountaintop or in the valley, whatever is done, you are my Lord. I am your servant. I have abandoned my will to you. The consequences of that are in your hands. I'm going to follow you faithfully. You are with me in circumstances beyond my control, in solicitations beyond God's approval, and in schemes beyond human orchestration. In schemes beyond human orchestration. Would you say that with me? Schemes beyond human orchestration. Again, schemes beyond human orchestration. You realize Joseph could never write a book about the pathway to leadership. Well, you're the second in command. You're a Hebrew. You're the second in command in Egypt. Well, tell me, what can I do to get a position like that? Well, first of all, you've got to be constantly belittled by your brothers. Your mother has to die when you're in the middle of your teen years. You got to be sold as a slave. And then you got to be falsely accused of a sexual crime. You got to be thrown into prison. That's an unusual path to leadership, isn't it? Well, eventually, and you know the account. I don't call it a story. I call it an account. Because when we call it a story, it sounds fictional. But you know how everything turns out. There is a famine in the land, just like Joseph said. Food is scarce. Joseph's dad sends his brothers to Egypt where there's grain. And they have to appeal before Joseph to get grain. And what do? They bow down before him, just like he said they would do when he was 17 years old. And eventually Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and they are scared to death because they know this guy can kill them all or have them all killed. But Joseph is not angry. He's not bitter. It's not payback time. And he says, you guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Had you never sold me as a slave, my own family would have perished from hunger. But now I'm in a position where I can help you stay alive. And through that family would eventually come the Messiah. So when you see something happen bad in your life, don't think always that it's the chastening of the Lord. It may be, but don't think it always is. Don't think that a step backward means that God's taking his hand off your life. God may be working circumstances beyond your control. You know, you've used a slingshot before. You got to pull it back and then let it go. Sometimes God does that in our lives, pulls us back. And we think, this is painful. I don't understand. This is not how I thought it was going to be. And then he lets go and he gets the honor and glory for where that takes you.